You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am so delighted to bring you this morning, Pat, I can't believe of all the words I messed up. Your last name. Hello.
It's all right.
No, you just.
It's like phone a gone.
Pat Gone. Phoning it's so nice to have you here. Phoning the Gone. I am speaking with Pat Gone today. I can't believe that's the one I messed up. So funny. She is the editor of Catechist Magazine and author of today's featured book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters, out now from Ave Maria Press. And welcome to the show, Pat.
Oh, it's good to be back, Allison. Love what you do. Thanks for letting me talk about the book today.
Well, I'm excited to talk about the book today. The cover came in and I looked at the cover with the big giant red letters of All and In, and of course, why belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. Question I was very eager to jump in and read and figure out why. I mean, I know why I think so, but I really wanted to see your thoughts. I'm always so intrigued by your thoughtful insights. And then of course there's the Eucharist. So like, all right, because that's why I'm all in. I, you know, just was on my way out and the Eucharist kept me here. So let's give us a background of what is All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. Give me a little synopsis.
Well, it's my second book, and it's such a privilege to be published by Ave Maria Press. They did a great job. You mentioned the cover of the book. All In is a very ambitious title, wouldn't you say? You know, when you see this picture of the Eucharist on the front cover of the book, I like to think that Jesus was all in, you know, like Jesus was all in for us, you know.
Yes.
And when we receive the Eucharist, you know, we totally receive Jesus, you know, body and blood, soul and divinity. So Jesus is all in for the church. But this idea of this book title being All In, I have to tell you, it's kind of an ambitious title, really. And I did write it for all Catholics, but I specifically wrote it for people who may not feel so all in. Be honest. they might feel sort of kind of maybe I'm in, or maybe I'm kind of part-time in, or maybe I have kind of an ambiguous relationship with the church. Maybe I feel a little wobbly about my relationship with the church, or maybe I feel weakened because I've been discouraged and disenchanted by things with the church or things that have happened to me in the church in the course of my association with the church. So really I wrote it with people like that in mind. I'm also somebody who lives in the Archdiocese of Boston, and for a lot of years I worked on a parish staff at a church. And I also lived in the timeline where the church sex abuse scandals erupted during what we now call the Long Lent of 2002, where, you know, it was just all over the news all the time. And we were just, you know, the church and others were suffering greatly during that time. And so I see All In, the book, as like a 9-chapter novena on my reasons. Why I stay and why I stayed even in light of all of that and, you know, the other problems that the church may have. Like, warts and all, I'm still a Catholic. And here's why. Because, you know, my reasons to stay and to really are focused on Jesus and what Jesus gives us in and through the church. But I think we have to really think about the things that are hard and difficult for us, and I think the Lord can find ways to help heal some of the breach that we may feel towards the church. So I say that this is a book maybe for wobbly or weakened or even wounded Catholics, to maybe help them take their own pulse, help them take their own temperature on where they are with the church, and what kind of steps might be taken, that maybe they can develop a stronger bond with Christ and with the church and the body of Christ at large, those of us who are brothers and sisters in the body of Christ.
So beautiful. My guest today is Pat Goen, and we're talking about her new book, All In. You know, I was really, as I was reading through it, just in really, my heart kind of leapt, because I was a cradle Catholic, left for a very long time, and then I was just in this amazing Bible study, falling in love with Jesus through his scripture. And then my four best friends left the Catholic Church to become evangelicals. And they said, you know, we'd love you to come with us, but, you know, I had a decision to make. And it was a hard decision to make. And it was at that point that I realized I had never really answered the question, why am I Catholic? I never really thought about what is the church that had to offer. And I'm in the Fall River Diocese. We were kind of like the jumpstart to that, the scandal, and it decimated a lot of my diocese. And I came back to the faith in about 2005. So I was already, you know, a weakened animal at that moment. And my friends just felt like this other church had so much more to offer. And it was in looking at what is it that the church has to offer that is different than the other churches, and why would I want to stay? And, you know, I forget who said it, but somebody said that the problem with the church is that there's people in it.
That's right. That's right. And you know what? We are the ones that are mucking up everything. Mm-hmm. We're the ones who are making the mistakes. And so, yeah, I do talk about those ideas that sometimes it's the people within the church who have jettisoned us from mm-hmm. the church, you know, because maybe we've been hurt. There's a lot of reasons that people might have some level of disconnect with the church. It might be just on their own part. You know, maybe they have, you know, not really had enough formation, you know, to know about, you know, the beauty of our faith and the beauty of the sacraments. Or it could be that perhaps they were a member of a church and somebody was perhaps mean to them or discouraged them in some kind of way. And we took it kind of personal and we used that as our exit out. Mm-hmm. It could be that maybe we don't understand some of the teachings of the church, or we think we might disagree with them. So then we use that as an exit path. I understand that those are very real experiences that people have, and I guess part of the point of the book is to just, you know, start with your experience, and if you're still open to a conversation, because I feel like all my books are conversations. Yes. My books are not, you know, these academic, you know, heavy to lift things. They are just conversations, one adult to another. Yes. If you're willing to have a conversation about this, I'd like to share, you know, some of my thoughts and my experiences. And I can tell you what some of my experiences are. And some of my good experiences in terms of meeting people who are joyful Catholics, who love God and who are trying to live it, you know, with their faith and life being a single entity, not just faith only on Sundays and then the other 6 days something else, that, you know, they've really integrated this Catholic life based on, you know, what they hear in the scriptures and what they receive in the sacraments. This can be a real life of joy, and it can be a life of joy that brings you through the bad stuff that can happen to you and the worst stuff. I talk about how in my own life, you know, we all have bad stuff and the worst stuff. For me, one of the worst things was that, you know, I went through cancer in my 30s. I had breast cancer as a young wife and a mom. Yeah. And it just kind of totally rearranged my body for one, but my life, you know, and it was a very hard thing to go through. And yet, you know, my faith helped bring me through that. And my relationship with Jesus was like the bedrock that I walked on during that hard time. So I realized that everybody has something that they could call the worst thing in their life. Mm-hmm. And it might actually be related, you know, even to the church perhaps. So, but the book is really talking about what some of the best things are and how the best things bring us through the worst.
You know, and when you were talking about some of those reasons that people turn away, I have encountered all of those people in my life and those friends that it's a person or an event. But what I love the most about probably the most about All In, again, my guest today is Pat Gonen, and we're looking at her new book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters, was that you point out those good to give you a chance to remind yourself or to learn anew. Because I know for myself, my walking away was the fact that I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know the faith. I don't know if in my catechetical years I'm a distracted woman anyway. So I'm sure as a teenager I had even more things to distract me. And I was in the 80s with the, you know, God loves you and you know, let's make a poster about it. We're going to talk about why it's important to know that God loves us. But there's so much more to it than just cutting out pictures from a magazine and sticking it on a board and being like, see, look at how much God loves you, that his love is way deeper than that. So perhaps it was this catechist hole that I had, and so nice now to have ways to grow in that. And again, your book is not an academic, as you said, heavyweight, but it is very catechetical in that it teaches those things that maybe some of us didn't know, and it reinvigorates our desire to learn more and to go deeper into our faith. Excuse me. My guest today is Pat Gonen, and we're looking at her new book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. We come back, we're going to talk more with Pat. If you haven't yet gone over to breadboxmedia.com and checked out Friend of the Show, I invite you there, perhaps during this break, to go check out Friend of the Show and to become a supporter of A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are talking this morning with Pat Gonen. She is the editor of Catechist Magazine. She has an amazing podcast, if you've not heard it yet, called Among Women Podcast. You can find that on Pat Gonen, GOHN.com. And today she's here talking about her new book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters, out now from Ave Maria Press. And I alluded to at the commercial, Pat, before we went to commercial, about that whole idea of God loving us. Now, it's not a bad thing, and I'm not kicking the 80s church, but it seemed like we didn't go too deep into, anything beyond that God loves you. And now you talk about God loving us in your book. Tell us why it's included in All In and how it relates to being All In.
Well, I understood that God loved me when I was a teenager. You know, I had an experience one day when I was on a retreat. Two different experiences when I was young that made me understand that, you know, God was real. One was I was totally into like backpacking and camping and stuff like that when I was a young woman. And I remember being in the Blue Ridge Mountains, and after hiking up a mountain, kind of being on this huge outcropping of rock and just looking out across like the Shenandoah Valley. And it was like the most beautiful thing I had ever seen, really. I was far from home. It was the furthest I was ever away from where I grew up in New York. And because I grew up, in Long Island, in, you know, suburbia and things like that, you know, mountains were majestic and glorious. You know, I hadn't really, that's why I love backpacking and everything else. So I had this kind of moment out there, like, you know, out, you know, on the top of this mountain. And it's kind of interesting because, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, God speaks to people on mountains, you know, and I had no sense of any of those Old Testament stories back then, or the Sermon on the Mount, you know, being on a mountain or anything like that with Jesus. But I just had this moment where I knew that God is, you know, that like who made such a thing? And I knew who, like, I knew like God was with me. It was just a sense of his presence, like in nature, just being overwhelmed by the beauty of it and that moment. Later on, a few years later, not too shortly after, I was on a teen retreat with other young teenagers at my church. And, you know, we were, you know, learning more about Jesus and the scriptures and everything else. And we were encouraged on our lunch break to go outside or go to the chapel or something, you know, and just take some time to pray. So I had this little tiny New Testament with me that was a gift from the retreat people who, you know, the people who plan the retreat. And I brought that with me. It was a little pocket-sized New Testament. And I walked out to the back of the property at the church, and there are all these softball fields. I used to play CYL softball as a kid, so those fields were very familiar to me. So I went out, and I just was walking out in the fields. I was just by myself, and I sat on the dugout bench at one of the fields, and I just happened to like open this New Testament. I don't even really remember if I was praying or not, but what I do remember strongly is that God spoke to me from, you know, his word, like right there from, you know, the book of Ephesians. And I remember in that moment, this is the same God of the mountain. You know, like this is the same God that who wants me to know him. And I just read a few lines from the New Testament. And it's the words of St. Paul. And St. Paul is saying, I pray that according to the riches of his glory, meaning God the Father, he may grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with the power through his spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. As you are being rooted and grounded in love, I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you'll be filled with all the fullness of God. And this whole idea of like, oh my goodness, you know, I'm being grounded in love right now. I'm being loved right now by this God who wants me to know this huge love, the breadth, the height, the depth. And it was like God's movement toward me. And I think that's a point that I make in the book, is that God loved us first. You know, if you did, if you surveyed a lot of the world's religions, you would see that a lot of those religions have a relationship where we are striving to reach God. We have to be good enough to get to God. We, you know, imagine our hands like extended up to heaven, trying to reach up to God. But with Christianity, and also that came to us through, you know, Judaism in terms of its roots, the movement is completely different. It's God, the God of, you know, the God of glory, the God of heaven, the God of the universe, the God who created everything, comes down in search of us. God makes himself known to us. And if you read through the Old Testament to the New, you see that. It's God slowly revealing himself to Abraham, to Moses, to David, to, you know, the people of God along the way. It's his revelation of himself. He comes in search of us. And he does it most perfectly in and through Jesus Christ, who came and took on human flesh, becomes the God-man, and comes in to seek us out. I love the words from St. John, who is the beloved disciple. You know how we give John that nickname? You know, he's the one who wrote the famous bumper sticker, God is love. Remember that bumper sticker? You know, you talk about the banners and that sort of thing. But you know what? You can read that in the Bible. It was John who said that God is love. And it was Jesus who said, you did not choose me, but I chose you. You see, it was God's action first. And the Catechism has long taught that, you know, God is love, and love is his first gift that precedes all the other gifts. And that's kind of like a progression of this book. You know, we talk about this love of God, this relationship with the beloved. We need to know who the beloved is. We need to know that that's Jesus, and that we are beloved to him, and he comes to make us his beloved, if you will. So this belovedness is so key.
Yes. And I love that in St. Paul, he says to us in Romans, like even while we were still sinners, like God didn't wait for us to be perfect, that he sent his son even while we were still sinners, even while we were, because we're not going to not be sinners when we're this side of heaven. So to know that we are so loved, as warts and all, who we are, and and we don't have to become that perfect person for God to love us, that he, you said that that first gift from him is love, and that he loves us completely. It's so amazing. We're talking this morning with Pat Gohn. Her book is All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters, out now from Ave Maria Press. I just have one quick question before we go on to in this wonderful theme here is what softball position did you play?
Oh, first base.
I was the catcher.
Uh-huh. That's a tougher position.
Way tougher, which is why I didn't last very long in it. But it was, you know what? My coach was smart. Just like God knows what we need and how we need it. My coach did too. He said, ADD girl, you be in every play. Because when I had to in the outfield, all you did was somersault and cartwheel and it didn't work.
Yeah, right. You have to be like incredibly focused to stay a catcher. Yes, for sure. Yes. The ball is always coming to you.
Exactly. I love... You have this, I've never heard this before, this great expression in your book, All In. Again, my guest today is Pat Gohn, is the mud splashed bride syndrome. Pat, what is that? Love that.
This is what I think a lot of us modern Catholics may be suffering from. It's the mud splashed bride syndrome. And I diagnose it as this. A lot of us may have heard that the church is the body of Christ, and the church is also the bride of Christ, mm-hmm. and that means that Jesus is the bridegroom. And you know, when we think of brides, you know, we think of, you know, radiance and beauty and purity, and we think of the white dress, and we think of all the things, you know, You know, Jesus is wedded to the bride, to the church. I say that you know, Jesus is wedded to the bride, and there's never going to be a divorce. You know, Jesus loves it. You know, St. Paul talks about, you know, the mystery of, you know, the husband and the wife, and he ascribes that mystery to the church, you know, between Jesus and the church. All right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I explain that in the book. You know, this isn't just a nice platitude. This isn't just, you know, lovely language. This is actually a real truth in terms of the connection that Jesus has, the powerful connection that Jesus has to the church. So, so Jesus sees the radiant bride, you know, he sees her in all her beauty and all her future glory and everything that, you know, that he calls her to be, that he pours his love into her, you know, because she's beautiful, and she's mm-hmm. going to be an abundant mother of many children. You know, we also say the church is a mother, you know, that gives birth mm-hmm. to souls. So this idea of the mud splash bride, I think that's something that many of us are suffering from. We see that the church is, has kicked up some dirt on her dress. She's got some mud splashed on her dress. And it's really, you know, because of kind of the sins of her members, if you will, that those of us who are in the church are sinners, and we can be hypocritical. And then we have others in the church who have sinned wildly and caused great scandal in the church. So we can talk more about this, you know, when we come back after the break. But I love this idea that Jesus is never going to divorce the church. Mm. And we can talk about how the church is both human and divine, because that changes our viewpoint. Sometimes we just see the church as human, but it really is human and divine. And we have to learn to see it that way, because that's how Jesus sees us.
Absolutely. We'll pick right back up after these messages with my guest today, Pat Gohn. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gigris here on Breadbox Media. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am joined this morning by author and editor of Catechist Magazine, author of today's book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters, out now from Ave Maria Press. And of course, I mentioned in the last segment, you need to go check out Among Women podcast, patgone.com. And I'm talking with Pat Gone. And we left off talking about the humanity and the divinity of the church. And I think like this is a perfect day to be talking about all of these things, the all in, why belonging, because we're about to enter into the most holiest time of the church, the Triduum. I didn't even go to Triduum, just a little side here. I never even went, nor did I know there was even services on Holy Thursday or Good Friday until I was well into my 30s. I had no idea that the church had such a rich celebration of the most amazing gift that God gave us, of course, his son, and are opening up heaven for us and the Eucharist and all these wonderful things. And I never even knew we could celebrate it. So I'm so excited that we're talking today, just before we enter into this Holy Week, with your book again, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters. And my guest is Pat Gone. So tell us a little bit more about the humanity and the divinity of Christ and how that relates to the church.
Well, we should probably start by just defining our terms. You know, we know that Jesus was both God and man, and Jesus, as God taking on human flesh, we call that the incarnation. It's a big churchy word, you know. but really, you know, Jesus coming as a human person, God coming as a human person, that's another way of saying this is God's love being made visible to us, mm-hmm. you know? So what's the incarnation? It's that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God himself takes on human nature and becomes a man in order to accomplish our salvation. And that's what we're going to go through this Holy Week. We're going to see the whole process of our salvation, one for Jesus, you know, one through Jesus, you know, through the gift of, you know, his Last Supper and then his sufferings. And his scourgings and the carrying of the cross and his death on the cross. The whole Paschal mystery is yeah. going to help win our salvation in Christ. You know, so Jesus is both God and man. And I talk in the book how the incarnation, this coming of Jesus for us in the flesh, is the antidote for the mud splash bride syndrome. Mm. You know, if you think about what Jesus taught about marriage, you know, he taught that the two become one flesh. They're no longer two, but one. Mm-hmm. And then he says, what God has joined together, let no one separate. Meaning like Jesus, you know, if we think of Jesus as the bridegroom and the church as the bride, like, let's not separate this. Jesus is not separating from this. But sometimes in our minds, you know, we think, oh, well, you know, I can just like love Jesus, you know, and not love the church. But you know what? The two are one. You know, Jesus is wedded to the bride. So so this idea of the humanity and divinity of the church, because Jesus is wedded to the bride, he also brings, you know, just as Jesus is both God and man and, you know, divine and human, so the church is too, that he's wedded to, that the two become one. And the Catholic Church, you know, does acknowledge this about herself, that she is both human and divine. And here's the thing, in terms of her humanity, the humanity of the church, she acknowledges that she is, you know, both able to dispense the graces, if you will, of, you know, who Jesus is that come to us through the sacraments, but she's always in need of purification and renewal. If you read the documents of Vatican II, the church says that about herself, that she is always in need. She is holy, and yet she is always in need of renewal. So we see that this humanity and divinity of the church is something that we have to look at too. And I think what I deal with when I talk to people and I identify their own version of the mud splash bride, all they're seeing is the humanity of the church. They're not seeing the divinity of the church. They're not seeing this Jesus connection to the church. I think it's so important that we talk about how the incarnation of Jesus becoming God, becoming man, totally changes the way we should be looking at the church, because the church, because everything the church is because of Jesus. You know, Jesus pours himself into the church. And thanks to Jesus, that the church is this radiant bride that's full of these amazing, resplendent graces, the type of graces that can help get us to heaven, that can help put us in connection with God, in a relationship with God, so that one day we could totally live in communion with God in heaven. That's the work of the church. The church is like a loving mother that wants to see her children get to heaven.
We're talking this morning with Pat Goan, and we're talking about All In, her new book. And Pat, I'm going to back you up just a little bit because there's something you said I really want to make sure we're clear about. I'd love your definition of grace and then explain how the sacraments dispense of that. I think for me, I had no idea what grace meant. I remember standing in front of my first Bible study group that I had talked to my pastor way back in 2006 to let me do this book, and we got to the I to grace, and we're supposed to define it. And I remember looking down at it and looking up at the audience and saying, "Does anybody know what grace means?" And I kind of framed it like, "Oh, I know, and I want you to tell me." But honestly, at that moment, I was sweating bullets, going, "I have no idea what grace is." And then I had no clue what the sacraments, you know, why the sacraments were so important and what they had to do with grace. Can you help me explain that a little bit?
Right, sure. Thanks. Well, like I said before, everything that Jesus is, he pours into the church. So what we see in the Savior has passed over into the sacraments, okay? So mm-hmm. So the gift of who Jesus is passes over into his sacraments through the gift of the church. So grace is really a gift from God. It's God's favor. It's a sharing in his divine life. It's this supernatural help and aid, divine help that we get through the sacraments. It's like super fuel injection. It's supernatural strengthening that we receive in the grace of each sacrament. Each sacrament has different graces. For example, like the grace of baptism, you know, this joins us to God's family. We become part of God's family. We become like attached to God, if you will. You know, it's a beautiful grace that happens in that sacrament, that we become beloved children of God, you know, sons and daughters of God. But we also receive the grace that removes original sin, removes any of the obstacles that was from the fall of humanity. All right, so it's kind of like the gateway sacrament. You know, it's the foundation sacrament that gives you ushers you toward the other sacraments. And it's so important because our baptism puts us in touch with our Father who is in heaven. So that's part of the grace of that particular sacrament.
I just want to add real quickly, being a mom via birth, giving birth to a child, and through adopting a child, I feel like God gave me this such an amazing insight that I want to just quickly share. When I was adopting Faithy, I didn't know, I was really frightened that I wouldn't love her as much as I loved the children that I had, you know, carried in my womb. But honest to goodness, I love that child exactly the same. In fact, probably some days more than her brothers. But the point being that, you know, we hear the words, we are adopted children of God, and maybe we don't understand adoption, and maybe we think, well, we're not loved as fully, or, we're not really his children, we're adopted, you know, but that really is an amazing gift. And if I, as a failed, flawed human, can love my adopted child the same exact, and again, some days more so than my biological children. And I don't ever think of her as my adopted daughter. This is my daughter, Faith. I don't think
Absolutely.
Of her any differently. And I think that that's such a great insight into understanding that we are truly a part of God's family, 100%.
Oh, yeah. And Faith doesn't call you adoptive mom. She calls you mom, right?
Yes.
And she calls your husband dad or pop or whatever his name is, you know, that way. Remember that Jesus, who is the beloved Son of God, you know, capital B, beloved, all right, came to make us beloved, so that as Jesus is by nature, we can be by grace. So here's the thing with this. When Jesus says, he answers the disciples when they ask him how to pray, he says, here's how you do it. our father. Okay? It's not like our adoptive father, you know, it's our father. It's the same prayer yes. that Jesus prays, the same prayer that Jesus would pray to the Father is the prayer that he gave to us, you know. So we are to really, you know, we might have to wrestle with that. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you're struggling with the idea of God as Father, or even that you could be beloved of God, mm-hmm. just ask for the grace to know it. Just go to God and just pray and just say, Lord, I want the grace of understanding my own belovedness. Because, you know, that's a prayer that God will always answer.
You know, that's interesting. You just said that. I was asking a priest friend the other day about how I struggle to accept God's will and his plan for my life. I worry that it won't be as good as I hope it will be, though God can only will good. I still struggle to believe that. And he said, did you ever ask God just to, he goes, ask, and then he goes, no, beg God to help you understand that he is good. Ask him to help you understand him. And I never thought to pray and actually just ask God for that mm-hmm. grace, that outpouring yeah. of him, of his Holy Spirit within me to understand him. It's such a simple yet complicated in my own little mind way. So just to ask that gift of prayer again, so mm-hmm. many gifts that the Lord gives us. We're talking this morning with Pat Goan, and we have one more segment to get into a little bit more about All In, why belonging to the Catholic Church matters. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I'm joined this morning by Pat Goan. We're looking at her new book, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters, out now from Ave Maria Press. And we're kind of talking about the divinity and the humanity of the church and why that's important for us to understand in order to fully maybe embrace the church or consider, you know, why we want to belong to the church or why it matters, as your book title suggests. So we're talking about the fatherhood, also of God. And there's what, when all of this being said, Pat, like, what is your kind of hope for the book, and why is, again, this so important to us being all in or considering being all in?
You know, someone asked me recently, are you trying to make, you know, people saints or something, you know? And I was like, well, to be honest, I don't do any of that. You know, that's something that Jesus does in us. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus calls us to holiness, and he calls us on to higher things, if you will. Mm-hmm. My goal really is just to share some of my reasons. You know, I'm hoping that somebody might read this book because they're searching for a reason to stay. You know, yeah. how you shared with me at the beginning of the program about your own you know, witness, your own walk to stay in the church. And I think there's other Catholics who have similar walks, who are looking for a reason to stay. So these are my nine reasons. And I hope that as people look at them, that they will evaluate, their own, relationship with God and their own relationship with the church. Like I said before, kind of take their temperature with it, and hopefully we move, we move a little closer. You know, we understand maybe where some of our gaps in our reasoning were. You know, I was talking before in one of the earlier segments about marriage. Jesus taught about marriage, and after he teaches about marriage, he says, you know, what God has brought together, you know, we must not separate. And mm-hmm. I think a lot of times we separate in our minds, you know, Jesus from the church. You know, we want to be spiritual, but we don't want to be religious, yes. you know. Yeah. You know, I just want to have this relationship with Jesus, but I don't want all of this religion, you know, this religious institution, you know, this large institution like the church. And again, I think that's just seeing the church very narrowly as an institution, whereas Jesus sees it so much bigger and better than just a human being, a group of human beings that can be easily dispensed with. You know, we think we can get rid of institutions pretty quickly. You know, we can put them out of our minds and say, oh, well, I don't need that part. But here's the thing. If you go deep with Jesus, you want to be like him more and more. The more you get to know Jesus, and you want to learn to love the way he loves, and you want to love the people and the things that he loves, you know. And you know what? Jesus loves the church. You know, it's a fact that he pours himself into, as we were talking about before, the sacraments and the graces, and all the aspects of the divine part of the church, if you will. That all is straight from him, and he loves the church, and he is never going to quit the church. But I think it's important for all of us to examine what Jesus is doing in the church. So that's what I try to explain in this book, and I think If that helps to lead other people toward a closer walk with Jesus, great. If that leads people to begin to look at the church maybe with new eyes, if you will, not separating themselves from what God has joined together. You know, Jesus has joined himself to the church. So let's not separate that in our minds. We might be tempted to, but let's not separate that. You know, we don't separate Christmas from December 21st, right? You know, that Christmas day is always tied to that date. You know, we don't wake up on July 4th and say Merry Christmas. You know, we learn to keep things together.
Exactly. Yes.
And we learn to put our trust in a lot of different things that have also kind of hurt us at certain times. You know, we've learned that you know, we invest money in banks and banks can go wrong. You know, we buy an airline ticket and we step on a plane, you know, that we expect, you know, to fly us in the sky, but we know things can go wrong with airlines. You know, all of these things can have tragic outcomes. You know, these big institutions that we kind of invest ourselves in, things with the institution can go wrong. And yet we find ways to reconcile us, and we still, put our money in a bank. We still put our, we still buy a plane ticket and get on the airplane. With the church, this is a sure bet, you know, because it's backed by Jesus, who's never leaving it. He's never divorcing it. So for me, that's kind of the bedrock of what I see the book trying to say to people.
After reading it, I would agree. It's so many beautiful images in here as well that I want to just take a few minutes here, because it is Holy Week. We're so close to Easter. And you start chapter 7, the mystical body of Christ, with this understanding of this thing about the thing. That's really good fancy language here at A Seeking Heart. sharing the light. And you talk about the Paschal candle, the Christ candle. And I just really loved this imagery. And I'd love to hear a little bit more about why include the mystical body of Christ in your book, All In.
Well, again, this is just looking at the church itself. You know, she has so many wonderful aspects about herself, if you will. And I talk about the Easter Vigil on Saturday night, which happens before Easter Sunday. And if people have an opportunity to go to the Easter Vigil, let's encourage you to go Saturday night. But this huge candle is brought it's lit from a fire that's outside, you know, the priest blesses the fire and then he lights this candle, and he comes into this darkened church. And it's like this light, the single light of Christ coming into a darkened world. And it's a very dramatic and it's a very stirring crescendo to kind of the end of our Lenten journey. You know, we've kind of been journeying towards this holy time. And, you know, Jesus, you know, we went through Holy Thursday and we've gone through Good Friday, and Jesus died and is in the tomb. And then this single light comes into a darkened church. You know, this is Jesus who is the light of the world. This is the risen Lord who is piercing the darkness. And, you know, it's Jesus who's reminding us, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness and will have the light of life. So you're at that mass and you're seeing that candle come in. And then one by one, tapers are being lit for all the congregation. The light is being passed on to each of the members of the congregation so that the whole church is lit by this single light who is Jesus, you know, represented by that tall Paschal candle. And it's just this procession that we are all kind of, in a way, you know, symbolically, like as we take the light one for another, like we're all encountering this light and we're all helping to bring the light to others and share the light to others. And I think it's a real beautiful idea of how the church is to reflect the light who is Christ, how we are to be lights in the darkness. And I think it's just part of this, the mystical body of Christ, that part of our call, and it's a holy call, is to be that light and that illumination in the world. And I think one of the things that I talk about when we get to this word mystical, you know, attached to the word body of Christ, it's really talking about the full entire membership of the church. You know, I don't know if any of your readers have read the Screwtape Letters by C.S. Lewis, but there's this great image that it's the Screwtape Letters is a fictionalization of a chief demon training a little demon in hell how to keep Christians away from the faith. Okay, so the chief demon is giving pointers and tips to the little demon on how to be a better demon. You know what I'm saying? Okay. And one of the things he says is, like, you know, and I'm paraphrasing Lewis here. I'm sorry, I don't have the exact quote, but just to paraphrase his idea, which was brilliant, he's like, if you don't let them see the church triumphant, don't let them see how big the church is, because then they will never leave it, you know? Yes. And the church, you know, we have three states of the church. You know, there's the church triumphant, which is all the saints and all the people in heaven, all right? Then there's the church suffering, which are all the people who are in purgatory on their way, you know, on the doormat of heaven, if you will, on their way. And then there's the church militant, who are the church people on earth. And when you combine all of that together, you see the mystical body of Christ, like, throughout heaven and earth. And it's so much larger than what we see now.
Amen. Pat, I think there's a beautiful place to stop, and I don't want to run out of time for you to tell us, where can we purchase All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters?
Well, I certainly recommend you find it at a Catholic bookseller if you can. Yeah. If there's none in your area, you can find it at Amazon or Barnes & Noble or at AveMariaPress.com.
Pat, it is always such a pleasure to spend time with you. Your book, again, All In, Why Belonging to the Catholic Church Matters, Ave Maria Press, is beautiful, and I think that people will be very blessed by it and encouraged, and of course, it's so insightful. Thank you, Pat Gohn, again, for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Allison, very much. I appreciate it.
So Pat Gohn, she's the editor of Catechist Magazine. You can also catch her podcast, Among Women, on patnagohn.com. And I'll have all those links up for our show notes. Tomorrow, we're going to look one more time at Walk in Her Sandals. In fact, Pat is actually an author for that as well. We're going to walk through the Triduum through the eyes of women. Looking forward to that tomorrow. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.